Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. It's always our delight to have you on board with Let's Face the Issues. I pray that you tune in each day seeking answers, solutions, and directions in the life of Christians as to what we ought to do and how we should live in the era in which we find ourselves in today in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that we have the Word of God that we can go to as a source book of truth. The Word of God is not just a place where you can find occasional truth or a tidbit of truth, as I call it, but it is truth from cover to cover, Genesis 1:1 through the Revelation 22 text. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. No better book to know than the Word of God, to be able to turn to it to find answers and solutions and directions for issues that we're faced with in life. This is the reason I say that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I tell people I'm a central biblicist, and I will forget a number of years ago, had someone ask me a question, well, you're Calvinist, Arminianist, or what are you? I said, well, I'm a central biblicist, and they looked kind of shocked, said, what does that mean? I said, it's simply what the Bible says. It's not what someone said years ago, or what they may have had a ideological bent about, but it's what the Word of God say. That's what Jesus was referring to when he said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus identifies that further in John 14:6. Jesus says, I am truth. You might ask the question as he was asked, what is truth? And in John 17:17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that gives us freedom in our society today and in life in general. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. We're going to be interviewing Don Redmond today. Brother Don is a candidate for the 4th District City Council seat, and he's in an election coming up in August. What is it?
August the 18th.
August the 18th is the primary, and we need to put Don Redmond back in City Council, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mind saying that openly and directly. I believe that we need to have honest men that are able, according to Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, men that are able, men that are capable, men that fear God, men that are willing to take a stand and having a conviction and competency in carrying out the task that God's called them to. And so we'll be talking with him a little during the course of our broadcast today. So perhaps you have a question or comment about City Council, about what City Council is doing. Perhaps you have a question, ladies and gentlemen, about Don's position on what the mayor has done in Fiat, making a decision to tear down our monuments and our historical markers without any authority being given by City Council or otherwise. Does he have the authority to do that? Did he have the authority? Can he, as with executive privilege, can he do that in our city? Does it take any other authority other than that? What about Black Lives Matter? What is the controlling interest in our city? How should we respond? And what should we look for in candidates that's running for office? Ladies and gentlemen, truth is where we need to stand. It is truth that matters. We're going to be talking about today a very serious question that demands truth. Who can save us now? Who can save us now? And I understand the ultimate answer to that question is nothing but God, none other than God. But as we look at the scenario today and we talk about it, we're going to have an elongated monologue in discussion of that. Then we're going to open the lines for you to call and ask questions for Don Redmond. Don has served on an occasion back a number of years ago. He served for 8 years on city council. And we want to put him back in that office, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of confusion as to what we need to find for candidates that call themselves Republicans. Even though the Republican Party controls the city council today, we do not control it. We have a whole lineup of rhinos in city council that cannot make a decision for conservatism if their lives depended on it. It's very much like we find today in Tallahassee and in Washington in relationship to trying to find a Republican conservative that's willing to take a stand. They're hiding under the beds and in the closet, afraid they make a decision somehow, some way. They might lose a vote of some ethnicity if they say something about the anarchist Marxist group called Black Lives Matter. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about truth. Truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made this statement. And I've used it many, many times down through the years. Jan Hus said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And that's my challenge today. I believe this is what is needed today, and it's the only thing from the human standpoint that can save us, that can deliver us, that can take us out of this morass that we're in as a society today before it's eternally too late. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is a outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in a turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for homeowners with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup generation equipment as well as lawn care equipment for the homeowner and for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where the gigantic U.S. flag flies. Flagpole's about 165 feet high. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today the president just announced that he, by executive order, is going to execute and enforce the federal law that is already on the books. And that federal law is simply one that says that it is illegal to tear down or destroy or to remove monuments and markers of historic value. And President Trump announced this. Let me just read you, reading the headline. President Trump announces forthcoming executive order to make the cities guard their monuments. President Trump says he will sign an executive order to force cities to guard their monuments. President Trump said Monday that he will soon issue an executive order meant to protect public statues and monuments from being damaged or destroyed by the far-left anarchist protesters. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me just pause at a moment at this juncture in this article. I'm going to read you a couple of other brief paragraphs. But what he said was protecting our monuments and statues from being damaged or destroyed by the far-left anarchist protesters. He's talking about Black Lives Matter, the BLM. That is a socialist, communist, Marxist organization that's out to tear down and destroy the fundamental foundation of the United States of America. So I want you to get it straight and understand it clearly. That's what President Trump's talking about. Oh, yes, he's talking about Antifa also. Antifa is not as involved in the destruction of the monuments as Black Lives Matter. Check it out. Antifa, usually you can watch the thugs as they go out on the streets. They're dressed in black. They have backpacks on. Most of those backpacks carry some type of incendiary devices to blow up police cars, et cetera, et cetera. Antifa, I've always used the term, they're made up of the white anarchist millennialist, whereas the BLM, Black Lives Matter, is made up of the Black Lives anarchist that wants to destroy the United States. Both of them have the same goal, but they operate in different hemispheres, if you will, as far as their operational structure. Further, President Trump says, we're going to do an executive order and make the cities guard their own monuments. He says it's a disgrace. Remember, some of these are great art, great works of art. This is significant artwork, as good as there is anywhere in the world, and as good as you see in France, as good as you see anywhere. It's a disgrace, the president says. Most of these people don't even know what they're taking down, the president added. You saw it, where they want to take down Grant. He's the one who stopped the ones everyone disliked so much, said Trump, referring to the Confederate military officers whose statues have already been vandalized, destroyed across America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to see the president stepping in to do something, but it ought not to have taken the presidential authority to do that. We have the responsibility. In fact, there's a statute on the books and has been since 1958 that makes it illegal for any statute, for any monument, for any historical statue or monument that has our historical heritage. It makes it illegal for it to be taken down, destroyed, or in any way vandalized. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear that? Makes it illegal if it is destroyed or vandalized, if it's on public property. Now, listen very carefully. When that statute was written in 1958, when it said public property, it's talking about city property, county property, public property, state property, or federal property. It doesn't say just federal property. It's on any public property. And therein lies the problem that we see. And Don and I are going to be talking about that a little later in this broadcast, about the authority that some of our mayors and governors seem to have taken upon themselves to do everything but defend we the people and to defend what we have as far as our rights and our heritage in America, our historical monuments and memorials. But it seems that Black Lives Matter is what I call the third rail in politics today. Brother John, I find it absolutely offensive, absolutely beyond my realm of imagination, that in the political arena today, even with Republicans and conservatives, that they are petrified to talk about what I call the third rail in politics, and that is to talk about Black Lives Matter, BLM, as being an anarchist organization, a Marxist organization. They are fearful to touch on that.
They're so worried about being politically correct that they sell the nation, sell their friends down the road, the people of our city, people of our state, who put them in office, some of them thinking that they would be a conservative type of individual that would support our residents of our city. So,
and yet we find, just as you said, they seem to be afraid to do so, and yet we find the socialist Marxist Democrats that are marching in lockstep publicly with BLM. They're bowing to them. The mayor of Olympia, Washington, that is Washington State, she was elected last November, and she wanted everybody to know that she was willing to bow to Black Lives Matter, BLM. So she publicly knelt before them in the protest marches in her city to let the world know that, you know, I'm on your side, speaking of her being on the side of the anarchist group. And then she was shocked 10 days later to find that they'd gone in and vandalized her home while she was away. They spray painted the front of it. They smashed glasses. But she had a big sign in her front window, which was seen through the front window to the front porch over the little, looking at the picture, that it was a swing set, said BLM. And then right next to the door, to the right side of the door, was flowing a sodomite flag, the LGBTQ symbol of their lifestyle. And yet Black Lives Matter came in, BLM came in and desecrated the home. And she, her words, she said, I can't believe this happened. These are terrorists. And she spoke it exactly right, but she's done nothing about it. She's done nothing about it. And that's what we find. And I expect that from the socialist Marxist BLM Democrats. And that's what I've changed my mantra for. And the calling, it's the socialist Marxist communist BLM Democrats. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's what we're faced with in America today. And I am saddened to see, Brother Don, that so many of our so-called conservatives are not willing to take a stand, say anything, and do anything in regard to that. Here's an article that says, a trail of destruction, destroying statues, destroying history. Dateline 20, June 19th. It's getting worse and worse for me, closer to home. I'm speaking not only the rioting, the demonstrating, the looting, all of this in the name of Black Lives Matter. I'm talking about the deliberate destruction of our history by dismantling of historic monuments across the country. Further in this article, it says, taking down statues and monuments and generals and others associated with the Civil War, the madness has crept into Washington, D.C., said Speaker, as Speaker Nancy Pelosi is using her clout to push for the removal of nearly a dozen statues of Confederate persons from the National Statuary Hall collection. She says they, quote, pay homage to hate and not heritage, end quote. Also, she says, just days ago, she ordered the removal of four paintings of former Confederates that had served as House Speaker. She apparently just found out about them. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, she's pushing for 11 statues to be removed out of Statuary Hall because they're bad people, you know. But yet what she evidently is ignorant enough not to know is that nine of them were Democrats. Nine of the 11 that she wants to remove, Don, are Democrats.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is that these guys were war heroes.
Yes.
At that time. As a veteran myself, I can appreciate people that fight in wars, people that fight for this country and fight for what they believe in. And, you know, there's a lot of people that, we are all sinners, mm-hmm. saved by the grace
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
If you're looking for people that have no fault, you're not going to find any. So, you know, to reach out and say that these men were racist or condoned slavery at the time, this was a way of life at that time. They were fighting for their country, fighting for what they believed in. They were war heroes.
Yes, you touched on the very thing, Don, if we can take just a moment. What we're doing, what we see taking place with the anarchist, insurrectionist BLM, Black Lives Matter. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. The BLM, Black Lives Matter, has N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Nothing to do with skin color or race. Nothing whatsoever.
Right.
It is the mantra that is used, the name tag that is used in order to cause racial division, which out of the main points of Marxism, Karl Marx was a genius in that the way to tear down and destroy a nation and the fabric of a nation is to bring about race division, that is people against people. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, that it's an impossibility for a nation or for a home to stand if it is divided. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the division of our homes, our families, our churches, and our nation today, which will undermine and tear down and destroy. But, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the focus of that which is taking place. And this article further says, Don, taking down statues of Confederate generals, but what they're doing is taking down statues and trying to go back and through the prism of 21st century, looking at these men with the jaundiced eye, that they were bad people. When their statues were put up, when they were recognized in the era in which we were living at that time, they were heroes, and they need to be recognized as such because it's the monument that goes back. And I'm reminded again, Don, in Joshua, the 4th chapter, the first 6 verses, when the children of Israel had just been led across the Jordan with Joshua being the leader, and God told Joshua to take each of the men, the 12 men of the tribes, and take a stone out of the middle of the Jordan River, the dry bed where the waters were dried up for them to cross over at the miracle hand of God. And they took those stones and placed them in the first place of their encampment. It was at a place called Gilgal, and they placed them there. And God told Joshua to tell the people that in the future days, the future years, in future historic mindset, when the children and the grandchildren would ask their parents, what are these stones for? That they would be able to go back and tell them the story of the crossing of Jordan and the miracle that God had performed, and that was the purpose of a monument. And you see that the monuments are for the purpose of a benchmarker of what happened then. Not saying that everything in our history was pristine, not at all, but simply it's a historical benchmark as to what took place at that time. Don, let me just jump in at this point. Got a long way to go in our discussion today. But as you hear this part of the monologue in our dialogue and discussion, what is it that you feel as a city councilman that you would like to do to make some changes in that realm, to be able to preserve our monuments, preserve our history, preserve that which indicates our freedom and our founding fathers? How would you respond to that? Because let's face it, in August you're primaried, and if you win the primary in August, that basically puts you in the office.
Well, there possibility there'll be a runoff. There is a third person in the race now as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to pray there won't be a runoff.
Yeah.
We need to pray the vote will be. And listen, if you're listening to my voice today and you're of age to vote, if you're not registered to vote, number one, shame on you. Number two, register to vote so that you can vote and do so immediately so that you can vote for Don Redmond in the August primary. We need to make sure that he has enough votes that he doesn't go into a runoff, that he will be seated in the city council.
That's right. And they're expecting a low turnout, but people need to get out and vote. We are concerned about our city. We are at a time in history right now. You talk about history. We are in the middle of historic, monumental happenings.
Yes.
And we need some strong people
in society.
Office that can take a stand and try to, you know, prevent some of the things that are taking place that are going to life-changing. Our children are seeing this. Our grandchildren are seeing this. This is history in the making that is going to be detrimental to the life of our children and grandchildren.
For the total future.
For the whole future.
Don, I know that the school board has, they set up a budget. Does the school board funding and the budget for the school board come through the perusal of the city council?
No, it does not. The budget for the school board does not come through the city council.
I was asking that question simply because I just discovered the other day, and for one of the city councilmen, and this is getting back to the city council, one of the city councilmen is making the recommendation that the school board change all of the names of the schools that has anything to do with historical roots of white men that were black people, that were bad people that caused us harm and danger in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm against that.
Well, I am too. I'm against. I mean, how far can this go? You're going to change the name of Jacksonville. We're going to change, this, there can be no end to what they're trying to
do. If we're going to do that, let's take the sign down that says Martin Luther King Boulevard.
That's right.
If we're going to do that, let's go to Washington. Let's go across America and take down the bust and the statues of Martin Luther King.
Yeah,
I mean, he was a good person with several things, but he was a wicked person in several areas. So if we're going to go back and flyspeck history, if we're going to go back and flyspeck the statues and the historical markers, let's flyspeck Dr. Martin Luther King's life.
Sure.
When he was killed, he was in the bed with a woman that wasn't his wife.
Yes.
Let's say in the secular world, let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
Let's call the truth truth. And if we're going to do that, let's do it across the board. Let's just take every statue and every monument and every marker down, every sign that recognizes the person by name.
Yes, and like I said before, none of us are perfect. We all have a history. And you can find fault in any of us. Look at the Old Testament. Look at our Bible, which is our goal, our guiding light as Christians. We read the Bible. We study the Bible. The history in the Bible, there were some characters in there that, but that's part of the history that we study.
Yeah,
that Bible is our history.
Yes.
We study some people in the Old Testament and throughout the Bible that were real characters, had a lot of sin in their lives.
You say that touches on that and makes me think. There's the Apostle Paul. He was a murderer.
Yeah.
He was persecuting Christians, trying to destroy churches. Out of the 27 New Testament books, he was the human author of 14. Should we go back and just slice those 14 books out? Because he was a bad guy.
And you know, it could get to that. You got people out here that these people, same people that are wanting to take the history away from our country or from our world, sooner or later they want to take the cross off the churches. They want to take they'll want to take the history out of the Bible at some point. That's what it could come to if we allow this stuff to go on in the direction that it's going.
Absolutely.
That, and thing is, we need some people that have enough guts to stand up for what is right. And, if people would just take a stand in the right direction, as much so as these people are taking their stand and tearing up our country, we could stop a lot of this.
But we need to have Republican, conservative Christian Republicans that will grow a spine and take a stand regardless of the popularity with it. That's what we're looking for, ladies and gentlemen. That's what we look for when we elected Donald J. Trump as president of the United States. We didn't elect him because he's Jesus. We didn't elect him because he has a halo and walks on water. We elected him because he has the tenacity, the backbone, the spine to take a stand for what's right for the United States of America. I believe our president loves America. He loves the flag. He loves our Constitution. He loves what we stand for. And that's the kind of person, Brother Don, that we need to put in office. That's the reason I'm trying to encourage our listeners today to vote for Don Redmond, District 4 City Council of the City of Jacksonville. Ladies and gentlemen, we need people that will take that kind of stand. Because when we look at it and understand, and Don, we're talking about taking down the monuments and the statues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And Black Lives Matter claims that they're concerned about black lives. And supposedly this was started because of George Floyd's death. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. It could have been the death of anyone. It could have been the death of the one that took place in Atlanta or anyone after that. It was simply looking for a spark to use as the catalyst for an excuse for what's happening with the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrat, BLM party today, that they want to undermine, tear down, and destroy the election. Just like, Don, with the COVID-19, the pandemic that we've been through with the coronavirus, which I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about it before on this broadcast, we've been lied to, we've been deceived. Who, WHO, who lied to us? And it was as a result of the Wong Hu virus, Wuhan virus, as President Trump calls it, that brought it about. But the end result, it was weaponized and utilized by the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, BLM party to try to tear down and destroy the reelection of the president. I've said when it comes to the coronavirus, when it comes to all of this hoopla now that's taking place in the destruction of our monuments and the street riots and the anarchy and insurrection that's taking place, on November the 4th, if President Trump is reelected, this will all go away. If Joe Biden is elected, all of this will absolutely intensify. And as I've said, ladies and gentlemen, this is poor grammar, but it makes a point. We ain't seen nothing yet. If Joe Biden is put in office, ladies and gentlemen, I believe Kamala Harris is going to be the one that he appoints as his VP running mate. And within 6 months at the most, if Joe Biden is elected within 6 months, Kamala Harris will be the de facto president of the United States of America. Whoever is his running mate for vice president will be the next president of the United States if Joe Biden is elected. We need to be very, very, very careful with that, Don. This is the reason I've said we need to have good men, moral men, ethical men, men that are able men. Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 says that means they have the capability and the tenacity to stand and do what God's called them to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about having the people in office that will honor the Lord and their decision and what God would have us to do. But Don, I'm going to touch on this, and then after our break, we'll come back and wrap up the loose ends and talk further. But one of the things, it's not just the historical monuments, but we're told now the next thing that BLM is coming after are all of the statues and stained glass windows that has a white supremacist Jesus in those statues and the stained glass windows. We're watching, as you touched on a moment ago, Don, where they're coming out of the crosses. They're going to be attacking the churches next and demanding that the churches bow and bend to the anarchist, socialist, Marxist, communist party known as the BLM and those that follow that. I'm saddened to say, ladies and gentlemen, but we're on the very, very edge of seeing the very foundation of our nation destroyed. It's a battle, a demonic battle, for the very soul of America. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to take a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue with Let's Face the Issues with a discussion today. Who can save us?
Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.